Today's Shi'as Masechta Be'ya Daf Yud Zayin. We will begin on Daf Yud Zayin, Amar Aleph, at the top of the Amar Tanur Rabbanan, the second line. Tanur Rabbanan, Yontif Shechal Yis B'Shabbos. If Yontif falls on Shabbos, B'Shamay Aymrim Mispalel Shmoyna. B'Shamay's opinion is that when one davens the Shmon Esrei, he should say eight brachas. He should say the first three brachas that are said by every Shmon Esrei, the last three brachas that are said by every Shmon Esrei, and the Omer, and then he says Shal Shabbos b'fnei atzma. He says a bracha regarding Shabbos for itself, and Shal Yonta b'fnei atzma, and for Yonta by itself. Beisil Omer, Beisil's opinion is Mispal Sheva, that he says seven brachas. Mask b'Shal Shabbos, he begins the middle bracha mentioning Shabbos. He says v'titein lanus yoyim ha'menucha zeh. Then he mentions the yontif v'yoyim chag ha'ploni zeh u'masayim b'shal Shabbos. And then he concludes the bracha mekadosh Shabbos. He doesn't mention yontif at the end. The only place that he mentions yontif v'yoyim mekadoshes yoyim be'emtza. He only mentions the yontif in the middle, not at the end. The reason explains the Sfas Emes that he only mentions Shabbos at the end. If he's going to be mentioning Shabbos and yontif both in the body of the bracha, so shouldn't he be mentioning Shabbos and yontif also at the end of the bracha when he says the actual bracha? Quotes the Sfas Emes, the Gemara Masechta the Brachas, that says that we don't mention two brachas, that says we don't mention two things in a bracha. So it's not possible to mention both Shabbos and Yontif when he actually says the bracha. Rabbi Eimer, Rabbi agrees with Beis Hillel and how to mention the body of the bracha, that you mention in the body of the bracha both Shabbos and Yontif, but he, unlike Beis Hillel, says Mekadosh Shabbos Yisrael v'Avachosba, when he ends the bracha, he says Mekadosh Shabbos Yisrael v'Azmanim. He mentions both. That means Rebbe, as the Be'alochin Siman Tov Pei Zayin Sif Aleph Devarei Maskil Mekadosh explains, that Rebbe certainly agrees with Beis Hillel is that you're supposed to mention Shabbos primarily, but he holds that since it's Yontif, and you also have to mention, and we have mentioned Yontif in the body of the bracha, he says you should mention Yontif at the bracha part as well. But says the Bi'ar Halacha, that Rebbe will agree that if he only mentioned when he says the actual bracha, Shabbos, and he doesn't mention Yontif, he's Yoytze the bracha. Because in the Yerushalmi, he explains, when Rebbe's opinion is quoted, there it's quoted the same way as Beis Hillel's opinion is quoted in our Gemara, where you only mention Shabbos. So, explains the Bi'ar Halacha, isn't that a contradiction between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi? Says the Bi'ar Halacha, it must be that what Rebbe means to say, L'chatchila, say, Mekadosh Yisrael v'azmanim, but if you only said Mekadosh HaShabbos, and you didn't mention Zmanim your Yoytza. So of course the Mefarshim ask, why does the bracha say Mekadosh Yisrael v'Azmanim? Why doesn't it say Mekadosh Yisrael v'Hamayadim? So the simple answer is that the Yom Tovim are very much connected to the Zmanim. The Yom Tovim are very much connected to the seasons of the year. We have to, Pesach is in the spring, Shavuos is in the summer, Sukkot is in the fall. That's Rabbeinu Bechaya's explanation. Another pshat is manim are another way of saying regolim. Because if we look in the Targum of the Pasuk, Sholosh regolim tochagli b'shana, the Torah used the words Sholosh zimnin. So we see that a definition of regolim is zimnin. Why don't we mention each yontif individually? And I would say on Pesach, Mekadosh Yisrael, v'chag ha-matzis, etc. So I saw that the Aruch HaShulchan explains that the Torah, when it speaks about the Yom Tovim, includes them in all in one category. The pasuk says, "May Ade Hashem mikroi kodesh shetikru oisam b'may Adam." Tikru oisam means that they're all in one category. So since they're all in one category, we should say that we should mention them together as one category of zmanim. It says the Gemara Tana Tanaka made the Ravina that the way to mention the bracha b'kadosh Yisrael v'shabbos zmanim. So he says, when you would say such a nusach, it would seem to indicate that Mekadosh Yisroel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mekadosh Kla Yisroel, and we are the ones that are Mekadosh, the Shabbos and the Zmanim. And that is inaccurate, because Shabbos Mekadosh V'kayma. Shabbos comes every week, not connected to what we do or don't do. Aleima, the right way to say is Mekadosh HaShabbos, Yisroel, both Kedushas emanate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Yisrael are Mekadosh the Zmanim. Am Rabbi Yosef, Halacha K'Rebi, the Halacha is like Rebi, that when we do say the end of the Baruch Hu, we should not just say Mekadosh HaShabbos, we should also say Zmanim, K'retaretz Ravina, and the way Ravina said we should say it, by saying Mekadosh HaShabbos Yisrael V'Zmanim. That's the Halacha. You're supposed to say Mekadosh HaShabbos Yisrael V'Zmanim. The Magen Avraham says that if you forgot to say Hazmanim, Toich Kdei Dibur, you should try to correct yourself. But if it's afterwards, then you could, as long as you mentioned Yontif in the body of the Bracha, then you were Yoit to the Bracha, and you do not have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. Tan Rabbanim says the Gemara, Shabbos Chal Yisbar, Rosh Chodesh B'chol Shemoyed, if Rosh Chodesh B'chol Shemoyed fall out on Shabbos. Arvis v'shachos o'mincha m'spalo. By Meir v'shachos o'mincha y'spalo the Shemoneh Esrei Sheva Brachas. You say the regular Shemoneh Esrei that we say on every Shabbos. V'ayma me'ein ha'ma'ayra. You say during the tefillah, you say b'berchas avoyden and b'berchas ritzei, you say yal v'yavoy. V'im lo'y omar. And if you did not say yal v'yavoy, Machsir Naisai, you have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. Rabbi Lezer Omer Bahida. Rabbi Lezer says the place to say, mention that today is Rosh Chodesh is not by Ritzei, but rather by the Birchas Haida. It's interesting that here the Gemara uses the words Shabbos Chal Yis Rosh Chodesh B'chol Shemoyed. By Yontif, it says Yontif Shchal B'Shabbos. Se explains the Mashah. By Yontif, the main tefillah that we daven, if Yontif is on Shabbos, is really the nusach of the tefillah of Yontif. We just mentioned Shabbos as well, as we know. On Rosh Chodesh, or Chol HaMoed that fall on Shabbos, it's just the opposite. The primary tefillah that we daven is the tefillah of Shabbos. But as we just learned, in the tefillah of Shabbos, we also mention Rosh Chodesh. And what the Gemara says is that by Birchas Avoida we mention Yal V'Yavoy. The reason Yal V'Yavoy is said by the Birchas Avoida, because we're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, besides, of course, that we're saying that today is Rosh Chodesh, we're also davening that when Rosh Chodesh, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, we brought the Kabbonis on Rosh Chodesh. So what we're trying to do is daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should have the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt and be able to bring the Karbonis. What happens if one doesn't remember, if one did not say Yal V'Yavoy? So the halacha is, if he remembers before he finished the Shemoneh Esrei, he goes back to Ritzei. But if he only remembers after he completed the Shemoneh Esrei, he has to go back and redaven the Shemoneh Esrei. Now, what does the end of Shemoneh Esrei mean? So, simply, the end of Shemoneh Esrei is when you finish Shem Shalom. However, if the person is accustomed that as he finishes Shemoneh Esrei, he also says Tachnunim Elokai Netzor, so that becomes part of his Shemoneh Esrei. And if he remembers while he's still saying Elokai Netzor, he could go back to Ritzei. If he doesn't say those Tachnunim, as soon as he finishes Shem Shalom, it's considered the end of that he finished Shemoneh Esrei and he has to go back to the beginning. The halacha, however, is that by Meiriv of Rosh Chodesh, you don't have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. As the Gemara Masechta Brachos, Daf Lamed Amud Beis teaches us, that since Bezdin never declares Rosh Chodesh by night, they always declare Rosh Chodesh only by day. Therefore, we don't repeat the Shemoneh Esrei if somebody didn't say Yalav Yavoy by the Shemoneh Esrei of Meiriv. However, by Mechol Moed, if you didn't say Yalav Yavoy by Meiriv, you would have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. Continues the Braisa, Ubim Musafim, but in Musaf of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos Chol Moed, Maschal B'Shal Shabbos, you begin by mentioning Shabbos, Masayim B'Shal Shabbos, and you conclude mentioning Shabbos, V'ayim HaKadushas Hayoyim B'Emtza, and you say the Kedushas Hayoyim, the Yontif, the Rosh Chodesh, or the Yontif, in the middle. On every tefillah of Shabbos, Maschal Shal Shabbos, Masayim Shal Shabbos, and we don't say it by Avoida, but we rather say it is in the middle of the middle bracha. That means, unlike Shachris Mincha Meiriv, where we say Yalav Yavoi, here in the body of the bracha, we mention Rosh Chodesh or Yontif. Amar Rav Huna, En Aloch Kaisa Zog, the Aloch is not like that, that like Rav Shimon Gamliel of Shmuel, rather it's like the Tanakama, that by Arvish Shachos Mincha, we say it by Yalav, we say Yalav Yavay Beretzei. Amar Rav Chibar Ashi Amar Rav. Agmar goes back to speaking about the halachos of Erevin. Menech Adam Eruv Tchum V'yontel Chaveri. We know that in order to be able to walk past the Tchum, one of the ways to be able to pass the tchum, to walk past the Tchum is by putting in Erev Tchumim. It says the Al Gemara, Menech Adam Erev Tavshilim B'yontel Chaveri. A person could put down an Erev Tchumim and make a Tanai. He makes the following Tanai. He says that if today is Yontif, then he could say, I want to make, since we're talking about a place where there are 2 days Yontif, and one day we know is Yontif, and one day is a Sveka de Yoyma, so one day is really Yontif, and one day is Choyl. And now, if the person realized on the first day of Yontif that he didn't put down an Erev Tchumim, so he should put down an Erev Tchumim on the first day Yontif, wherever he wants, and he can make the following Tanai. He says, if today is not Yontif, and tomorrow is Yontif, so I'm making an Erev today for tomorrow, which we always do, Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, making it Tanai. If, on the other hand, today is Yontif, and tomorrow is not, so today I can't put down an Erev. It's too late to put down the Erev Tchumim on Yontif. So therefore, my Erev tomorrow is going to be fine because tomorrow is not Yontif. So on the second day, so on the day which is not Yontif, he could make an Erev. There's a very fundamental point that the Rambam makes. The Rambam says that when we speak about keeping 2 days Yontif, there are two ways of understanding it, as we learned earlier in our Masechta. One is, as we just explained, it's a Sveika de Yoyma. We're not sure which day is Yontif and which day is not. And because of that, we keep 2 days, because of that, we keep 2 days Yontif. If that's the case, so the Tanai that we just learned in our Gemara makes much sense. However, if, like we in Chutz La'aretz, keep 2 days Yontif, not because we're not sure about the calendar. We certainly know which day is which. The only reason we're doing it because that's how Chazal said, Minig Avseim B'Yadayim, that we should continue always keeping 2 days Yontif. If that's the case, then we would have to, then we could not make the Tanai because it's not because of a Sveika de Yoyma. Amar Rava. Rava says that let's say you have 2 days Yontif in that are on Thursday and Friday. Says Rava, Menech Adam Erev Tavshilim B'Yontif L'Chaveroi, a person forgot to make Erev Tavshilim Erev Yontif, can make the Erev Tavshilim on Thursday. And again, Umasna, and can make it tonight. If today is Yontif, then tomorrow is not Yontif, and there's no need for Ne'er of Shilin altogether. If, however, today is not Yontif, and tomorrow is Yontif, then I'm making it, I'm putting down the Erev Shilin today, and today is in Yontif, and I could put down the Erev Shilin today. Manda Amar Erev Tchumim, says the Gemara, the opinion that holds that you could put down an Erev Tchumim without making such a Tanai, Koshkein will certainly hold that Erev Tavshilin, that you could make this kind of Tanai in putting down an Erev Tavshilin. However, says the Gemara, Manda Amar Erev Tavshilin, the opinion that holds that you can make an Erev Tavshilin this way will hold strictly by an Erev Tavshilin, are we lenient? Al Erev Tchumim loy. We cannot be lenient by an Erev Tchumim. My Tama, why can't we be lenient with this Tanai when we speak about an Erev Tchumim? Del Mikni Shvisa B'Shabta, to be kind of Shvisa on Yontif, loy. That means, even though it's a suffix of today's Yontif, that's what we say when he's putting down the Erev Tavshilin on the first day. He's saying, if today is Yontif, then it's not going to work. Erev Tchumim. If today is Yontif, it shouldn't be effective. If it's not Yontif, it should be not effective. The halacha is that one has to be very careful not to do something on this day that looks like something which is very prohibited. So putting down an Erev Tavshilin doesn't look like anything very serious that should be usher to be done on a day that we're celebrating Yontif. However, making an Erev Tchumim, what we have explained always is that making an Erev Tchumim, the mechanics of an Erev Tchumim are that you koine shvisa, that this becomes the place, wherever you put down the Erev Tchumim, that's where you, that becomes your place for Shabbos. So that means that you're making a kinyan. Making a kinyan should not be done even on a day which is a Sveika de Yoima. The Pnei Yeshua takes a different approach. He says that the issue is, it looks like Masakin. The act of putting down an Erev Tchumim looks like an act of Masakin, and therefore, since it looks like an act of Masakin, we have to be more Machmer. The Rashba, his approach to this Gemara, why Erev Tchumim is more serious, it looks much more, he says, like an act of Achana, when you put down an Erev Tchumim. And that's why Erev Tavshilin, explains the Pnei Yeshua, doesn't involve making a kinyan. And therefore, since it doesn't involve that type of a significant act, that's why we could be more lenient than Erev Tavshilin. But an Erev Tchumim is a much more significant act. And therefore, since it's a much more significant act, it can't be done on either day of Yontif, even though these days are days of Sveika. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, Ein Oifim Yontif of Chaveroi, you may not bake from the first day Yontif and for the second day Yontif. And the reason is very consistent with what we just discussed. Because when we speak about 2 days Yontif, we speak about a Sveika de Yoima. And when we speak about a Sveika de Yoima, that means 1 day is Yontif and 1 day is not. We're just not sure which one is which. So it turns out if we're baking on the first day Yontif and the second day, which is Yontif, and the second day is not Yontif, we're baking on Yontif for a weekday. And of course, we're not allowed to bake on Yontif for a weekday. But now, the Gemara begins a discussion called Ribi Bishur. Ribi Bishur means that if I'm cooking something anyway that I'm allowed to do, am I allowed to add? I'm putting food into the pot. I'm cooking on Yontif. Of course, as we're learning, one may cook on Yontif. The question is, can one add food to the pot on Yontif? So when it comes to Shabbos, if there's a case where somebody's allowed to cook on Shabbos, for example, Chas v'Shalom, Lachman Otzlan, there's somebody sick, and we're cooking, that we're allowed to cook for him on Shabbos. The halach is that we're not allowed to cook any extra. We're only allowed to cook exactly as much as we need for this person that we're allowed to cook for. Yontif is much more lenient. And the reason is because on Yontif, Melechus Eichel Nefesh is Hutra. Hutra means, explains the Ran, that it's completely mutter. And therefore, Ribi Bishurim is really included in the heter of Eichel Nefesh, And that's why we could be much more lenient. But when we speak about pikuach nefesh, and here the Ran introduces a very important concept, even though our halacha, of course, is the Rachman Tzlan, if we have somebody who's not well on Shabbos, we're allowed to do whatever we need to do on his behalf, but of course we're only allowed to do what is absolutely necessary. The chuya, that means the Torah reluctantly was lenient. The Torah says only what we need to do, we could do. And therefore we could only cook what we need to cook, but not anymore. Of course, says the Achiezer, when we speak about Rivi Bishurim, is so again, the case of Rivi Bishurim is that we're cooking on Yontif and we're putting into the pot more than we need to. And the question, however, is that I don't really need all that extra food. So that's called Rivi Bishurim. But let's say I'm putting food that I could not eat today, whatever the example would be, says Reb Chaim Moizer, that is a Rivi Bishurim, and that is certainly Asur. So again, says the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan, Ein Oifu Miyontu L'Chaveroi. Be'emes Amru, says the Gemara, wherever the Gemara uses the words Be'emes Amru, that's the halacha. Memali Isha Kol Agdei Rebosor, a woman could fill up the entire pot with meat, Afa B'Shein Tzricha El Chaticha Achas, even though she only needs one piece of meat. Memala Nachtem Chavu Shomayim, a baker could fill up an entire pot of water. He only needs a small amount of boiling water. But when it comes to baking, you only may bake what's necessary. A woman could fill up the entire oven with bread. The bread gets cooked better when the pot is full. And Rava teaches us halacha Rabbi Shimon ben Lazar, the halacha of Shimon ben Lazar. So Agmar is teaching us that there are two reasons, there are two ways when you're allowed to add more than you need. One is when it doesn't involve more tircha. So if you're filling up the pot with water, it doesn't really involve more tircha if you put some more water into the pot. And therefore you're allowed to boil the entire pot, even though you don't need that much boiling water. The other heter is if what you're doing will improve what you're allowed to do. So I don't need the separate loaves of bread. I only need one loaf of bread. But if the loaf of bread that I need will be better by baking more loaves of bread, so even though this involves more tircha, but I'm doing it in order to have better bread, those are the two reasons that I could do it. However, the Torah quotes the Rekeach, that even though the Gemara now is teaching us that we could be lenient and say and bake or cook more than we need, you have to be very careful, says the Torah, not to mention that I'm doing it for after Yontif. I'm allowed to do it, the Gemara is giving us a heter, but only by not saying it explicitly. The Torah disagrees. The Torah says, by baking these extra loaves of bread, the bread that I need for Yontif will be better, so that I'm allowed to say I'm doing it because of that purpose. However, points out the Mishnah Berurah, so if it's the case of the bread, that we just learned that the loaves of bread get enhanced by adding more loaves, so then I could say, even though I don't need these loaves today, I'm baking them because I want the loaf that I do need today to be better. But in a case, says the Mishnah Berurah, where it's the reason we're being lenient, as we said a moment ago, there are two bases for leniencies. I'm being lenient because of that doesn't involve extra tircha, so I'm allowed to fill up the entire pot, but I shouldn't say that I'm doing it because I want to use the extra water after Yontif. Moreover, the Gemara says that I can fill up the entire oven with bread. The reason I can fill up the entire oven with bread, because all the breads will be enhanced. Says the Ritva already, that was only said in their ovens, where the way they baked on the oven was that they put the bread, or the pita, against the wall of the bread. And therefore, the bread gets enhanced by having more bread in the oven. But nowadays, where we don't bake in that kind of ovens, so we don't have the heter saying, well, the more breads in the oven, the breader the bread that will come out of that oven. Moreover, says the Rosh, that this heter is only in a small oven, but in a large oven, we don't have that heter. Ask the tzlach. So we've explained now why we could fill up an entire oven with bread. The reason we could fill up an entire oven with bread, even though we don't need all the loaves, explained the Gemara, is because all the loaves are gut enhanced. But how does that give us a heter to take down the extra loaves? We're only putting in the extra loaves to make the loaf that we need on Yontif be a better loaf of bread. But how does that allow us to take down the loaf that I don't need for Yontif? We know that Radius Apas, taking off the bread, is a tircha, and it's a tircha shaloi letzorich. So explains the tzlach, that we apply over here the concept of a tirus soif and mishum tchilosoi. If we won't be allowed to take down those extra breads, then nobody's going to want to put up those extra breads. If nobody's going to want to put up those extra breads, we're not going to have such a great loaf of bread in Yontif. That's why we can be lenient in taking it down. Here we learned the concept of Ribi Bishurim. And as we discussed, Ribi Bishurim is not something that is mutter. What's mutter to do on Yontif is what is necessary for Yontif. But what's not necessary for Yontif may not be done on Yontif. So Rav Moshe Zatzal in the Shas Tshuvas Igros Moshe Chelek Hei Simen Lamed Hei discusses two situations that seem to be similar but are really not. Rav Moshe discusses a person who of course should not be doing this, but a person who smokes. And he's a lot on Yontif. So he's allowed to take out his pack of cigarettes because he's allowed to smoke. But let's say the pack of cigarettes has 20 cigarettes in it. But he knows he doesn't need all of those cigarettes. Is he allowed to carry out the entire pack? Or is he only allowed to carry the amount of cigarettes that he's going to use? The other Shaila Rav Moshe discusses is somebody allowed to carry on Yontif a keychain that has in it a number of keys, even though he has keys on the keychain that he knows he will not use in Yontif. He has keys to his car, he has keys to his office. All of these are places where he won't go, he can't go on Yontif. So can he carry those extra keys on Yontif? So Rav Moshe makes an interesting distinction. He says, although this person does not intend to use all these cigarettes, but potentially, he can use the cigarettes. He may end up smoking, unfortunately, more than he intended to smoke. He may find somebody who asks him for a cigarette. Therefore, he could carry out the entire pack of cigarettes, even though it is not his intention to use all those cigarettes. However, in a case, so as we learned now, any tircha that can have a potential use on Yontif is, the Gemara just said, is permitted. However, the individual is carrying out the keychains, and there are keys there that he certainly has absolutely no use for on Yontif, to his office, to his car, etc. So there, none of the terim that the Gemara just offered in Ribi Bishurim apply, and he would not be allowed to carry them. Ibailhu, continues the Gemara, Mishlai Nich Erev Tavshilin. Somebody who did not leave an Erev Tavshilin, so who Nesser, he certainly may not cook from Yontif to Shabbos. The question is, Kimcha Nesser, is the same thing applied to his food? Adilma Hu Nesser, he may not cook and bake because he didn't leave an Erev Tashilin, then Kimcha Nesser. But it has nothing to do with his food. And I saw that the Mefarshim explained that what is the Gemara's question? The way to understand the Gemara's question is Erev Tashilin a din in the Cheftza, or is Erev Tashilin in the din in the Gavra? Is it a din that this person who didn't leave Erev Tavshilin is not allowed to cook or bake, but has nothing to do with his food? Or is Erev Tavshilin a din on the Cheftza? Everything has to have an Erev Tavshilin. And therefore, if he didn't leave an Erev Tavshilin, just like I saw Rav Shlomo Zalman says, the halacha is by Erev Tchumim, that not only is a person limited to a tchum, but whatever he owns is limited to that tchum as well. And that will be the question. Ask the Gemara, Lamai Nafkamina, what would be the Nafkamina in this question? Says the Gemara, L'knui Kimcha L'Acherim. If I didn't make an Eruv, but somebody else made an Eruv, could I give him ownership over my food? So my food can't be used to cook unless I have to give somebody else ownership over that food. Otherwise, if I may not cook, my food may not be cooked either. However, I don't have to give it over to somebody else because the halacha is that the Erev is only effective on the Gavra, not on the Cheftza. So of course, Tosfos asks, if Kimcha Neser, how does my selling it, once it became Aser, it should be Aser from Erev Yontif. And once it became Aser from Erev Yontif, then it should remain Aser, then by selling it should not be able to change it. So I saw that the Megillah Shlomi answers that we're talking here where I give it to somebody else as a gift. When I give it to somebody else as a gift, it's as if it's retroactively his from before Yontif. And since it becomes retroactively his before Yontif, we don't have a problem, even though at the beginning of Yontif it was Asur. Toshma answers the Gemara. The Brisa says, Mishalinich Erev Teshilim, Hareze Loyofa Vloyvasha Vloyatman. If you didn't leave an Erev Teshilim, you can't do all these different activities. Loy Loy Vloyacherim, Vloyacherim Vashim Loy, nor could other people cook and bake on his behalf. Ketzuraisa Makna Kimcha Lacherim, you could give over your food to somebody else. Vloyfim Vashim Loy, and they cook and bake on your behalf. Shmamina Shehu Neser, that the person who didn't live Erev Teshilin, he is Aser, the Kimcha Neser, and his food as well, unless he sells it over to somebody else. The Ran says that when you give it over to somebody else, we have to be very careful, because we know that on Yontif, one may not make a Kinyan. So just giving it over to somebody else would open up a question how to make a Kinyan on Yontif, and therefore he says we can't make a Kinyan Suder, which is a formal act of a kinyan. We can only make a kinyan meshicha, which is much less of an act of a kinyan. So the Gemara is saying that in order to be able to make an Erev, if you didn't make an Erev, you have to give it over to somebody else. Moreover, the Gemara, using this Gemara, says, let's say somebody fasts on Yontif. So he's not able to cook for himself. If he's not able to cook for himself, then he can't cook for anybody else, even if he left an Erev Tevshilin. Why? Because I'm only able to cook if I'm cooking for myself. Here, if I can't cook for myself, I can't cook for others. The Shaar HaTzion says that not everybody agrees with this psak. Ibailu, ova va'ofa, if somebody did not put down an Erev Tevshilin, and he cooked an Erev Shabbos on behalf of Shabbos, mai, will he be allowed to eat that food or not? Toshma, the Brisa says, Mishalinich Erev Teshilin, Ketzur Oisoi, Makna Kimcha Lacherim, he should give ownership of his food to somebody else, Lacherim Oifen Mavashim Loi, and other people will cook and bake on his behalf. Vim Isa, if the halach is that if you did cook or bake what you shouldn't have, the halach is you're allowed to eat that food, Lisni, Shunta the Brisa have taught us that in offer, that if you did cook and bake from Friday for Shabbos, mutter. Answers the Gemara. Amar Rav Adar Bar Masna, Tana Dhanta da Terek Tani. The Tana wants to speak about a situation that's permissible. As we just learned, giving over ownership of the Kemach is permissible. The Kanta de Surah, which refers to an individual who did the wrong thing, like Tani, that's our Mishnah. That's not what the Braisa wants to discuss. But it may be that the halach is that if you did cook without leaving an Erev, that's going to be fine. Toshma, the Braisa says, Mishnah Nich Erev Tevshilin, if somebody left an Erev Tevshilin, I raise Oifa, Mashal, Avashal, Matman, he could do all of these activities. From Ratzel Lechlos, if he wants to eat his Erev, Harishus Biyodai, he has every permission that he could eat his Erev. And as the Tzlach explains, the Chiddush is that we learned earlier in our Perek, at the beginning of our Perek, that Rav Ashi explained that the reason we make an Erev Tevshilin, that people should realize that Ein Oifim Yontav L'Shabbos, that people will realize that what he's allowed to do and what he's not allowed to do. And maybe because of that, you should have to leave an Erev in place under all circumstances. Teaches us the Gemara that if you don't need the Erev anymore to cook, you can eat it. Achloi, achloi ofa, achloi bishel. If the Erev was eaten up, the Erev Tashil was eaten up before you cooked or baked for Shabbos, achloi hitman, or until you put away the food for Shabbos, reza lo yofa, v'lo yvash, v'lo yatman. Loi loi la cherim. You can't cook or bake for anyone. V'lo cherim v'ashlam loi. Nobody else could cook and bake on your behalf. I'm a vashul yontif, even though you're not allowed to cook for Shabbos because you don't have any more in Erev Tashilin. You could cook for yontif. You always could cook for yontif, as we discussed earlier. It's part of the hetter of Eichel Nefesh. But if you cook for yontif, hoyser l'Shabbos. If you have leftover food, you could use that food for Shabbos. However, says the Braisa, uvach lo yarim. You shouldn't cheat. That means you shouldn't cook extra for Yontif and say I'm really cook extra for Shabbos and saying I'm really cooking for Yontif. Vim harim, and if you did do so, usur. And it's very important that Rishonim make the point. The Rosh makes the point that in Halacha there are different situations of haroma, and sometimes the Halacha tells us that a haroma is usur. Sometimes the Halacha tells us that the haroma is mutter only for tzurvim midrabanan. And sometimes the halacha tells us that the aroma is completely mutter. And says the Rosh, it's not for us to be able to determine what the halacha is. Chazal make that determination when haroma is mutter and when haroma is aser. We learned the Gemara, the Rosh points out earlier on Dafir Aleph, where the Gemara says that you have meat that you slaughtered on Shabbos and you need to salt it. So the Gemara says in salting meat on Shabbos involves the Isser of Ibud, of working with meat. So we said what you could do is do one at a time. So says the Rosh, so there we saw that Haram is Mutter. So we see that certain times Chazal were lenient with Harama. As the Rosh says over there, Chazal were lenient, because if we're not going to allow you to do so, nobody's going to ever want to Shecht on Yontif, and it'll prevent us from having a proper Simchas Yontif. And sometimes Chazal were not lenient, and we can't compare one case to another. On Rav Ashi says, so what do we see from here? That just like if you did a haroma, you can't eat that food. Similarly, if you cooked or baked without an Erev Tashilin, you can't eat that food. Says the Gemara, Amar Vashi, Arama Karamet, you can't bring a raya from Haroma. Shani Haroma, when it comes to Haroma, when Chazal don't want us to do a Haroma, Achmiru Rabar Rabban Tfei. Chazal were very strict, and therefore, Mimez it even stricter than somebody who would have deliberately cooked or baked without an Erev. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Amar, the reason we can't bring a raya from Harava, Hamani, that the man Amar that's so strict by Haroma, Chananyahi, represents the opinion of Chananya, but leave it to Beis Shammai, that we find that Chananya follows the opinion of Beis Shammai. The Tanya, Chananya, Amir Beis Shammai, Ein Oifim El Ken Eir V'Pas, we can't bake on Yontif for Shabbos unless you put down bread. Ein Mevashlim El Ken Eir B'Tavshol, unless you put down a cooked food. Ein Taimim El Ken Ayicham Tumun Amir of Yontif. And you can't do Atmana unless you have other food that already was Mutman. Beis Hel Amrim, you could just have one cooked dish, and for that you could rely on everything for an Erev. So says Rav Nachman Yitzchak, since we find that Chananya was machmer in Hilchas Erev, that's why maybe he was also machmer in the halacha that if somebody cooked or baked without having an Erev, he may not eat the food. But that doesn't mean that he is machmer regarding that we are going to be machmer. And as the Tzlach explains, if we see that Chananya is so machmer in all the different types of food that we have to leave for an Erev, it's obvious that he has a very strict approach to Erev. Since he has a very strict approach to Erev, we can't use him as the source to Paskin our Shaila. We know that we've mentioned taking off Trumas and Maisers and Shabbos is prohibited. And the reason it's prohibited is because Nirukim Masakin, we'll speak about that more in our coming Shiurim in Mitzvah Hashem, and therefore may not be done in Shabbos Yontif. Says the Mishnah in Masechta Trumas, Perek Beis Mishnah Gimel. Hamaisa Peroisa B'Shabbos. If one does take Peroisa B'Shabbos on Shabbos, B'Shoigig Yoichel, and B'Shoigig you may eat that fruit, but maize it, but if you did it, Lo Yoichel. So we see that if somebody violated the Isser, he may not eat it. So shouldn't that be the same thing with an Erev? Says the Maraloy Tzricha. That Bryce, that Mishnah speaking about a case, this like Peri Achrina. He has other fruits. And since he has other fruit, so there's no issue of Oynik Shabbos. And therefore with Machmer. But in a case, maybe, where he has no other food, the case that we're discussing, that if he doesn't have an Erev Tavshilin, if he can't cook, he won't have any food on Shabbos, maybe we'll be more lenient. Tashma, the Mishnah over there mentions, Hamatvil Kela B'Shabbos, the halacha is that one can't take a keli on Shabbos to the mikvah. Again, the same concern is the concern of Mesakin. B'Shogig Yishtamish Behem, if he took him to the mikvah on Shabbos, B'Shogig he can use those kelim, B'Mezid Lo Yishtamish Behem, but not B'Mezid. So again, we see that Chazal Machmer. And so the Gemara, again, that isn't the proof, because it's talking about Loitzricha Disle Monachrin. He has other kelim. Inami, by kelim, Efshim B'Shela. He could borrow kelim from somebody else, and they won't, and he'll still be able to have Oynik Shabbos. That's why we're not lenient. But here, maybe if he won't have any other food, we're going to be Machmer. Tashma, the Mishnah teaches us, Ma'avash B'Shabbos B'Shogig, if somebody cooked on Shabbos B'Shogig, Yoichel. B'Mezel Lo Yoichel. But if he did it b'mezel, he may not eat the food. So again, we see that even though it's a question of Oynik Shabbos, we're not lenient. Answers the Gemara, we can't bring a raya from Shabbos to Erev Tavshilin. Because it's through the Shabbos Shani. Shabbos is very strict. We know if somebody has to show Mechal Shabbos b'mezel, he's Chayiv Skila. That's why Chazal was so strict and said that if somebody cooked in Shabbos b'mezid, you may not eat that food. However, we can't learn from there to the case where somebody didn't leave an Erev Tavshilin. Because if you didn't leave an Erev Tavshilin, there it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan, and therefore it may not be the same, and the question, therefore, is not resolved. B'Shamay, I remember as we learned, B'Shamay says that when it comes to making Erev Tavshilin, you should use Shnei Tavshilin, two cooked foods. And Beis Hill said one cooked food is enough. But we also learned that Beis Sham and Beis Hill both agree that a fish with egg shmir on top of it is considered two food. Says the Gemara, Masnis and Loikai Tana, our Mishnah is not consistent with the following Tana. The Tana Amar of Shimon Alozer, Magdim Beis Sham and Beis Hill, they both agree, Ashnei Shet Tavshilin Tzorech, that you need two foods for an Erev Tavshilin. Aman Nechalku, The machloikis is al dagu beya olav. If you have a fish with egg shmir on top of it, b'sham amrim shnei tavshilin. That you need two foods, and this is only considered one. B'sil amrim tavshil echad. This type of food is considered like two foods. However, v'shavin everybody agrees shempirpa beya. If you have an egg, v'nasan l'tocha dag you. Fill your fish with eggs, or shirisa kaflutos for nosnul tachadag, or you had vegetables, you fill your fish with vegetables, that's considered shnei tavshilin. But says the Gemara, Amarava hilchos katana dedan, so according to this, everybody, even Beis Hillel, will agree that you have to have two foods. But says the Gemara, Amarava hilchos katana dedan, v'aliva de Beis Hillel, that one food is enough. Like Beis Hillel said in our Mishnah. But here we have a machloikis rishonim, how to understand the opinion of Beis Hillel. Everybody agrees that according to Beis Hillel, one cooked food is enough. The question is, the person doesn't just want to cook from Yontif for Shabbos, he also wants to bake from Yontif to Shabbos. Will Beis Hillel agree, will Beis Hillel require him to have a separate baked food? Well, Beis Hillel said that one cooked food is good enough, not just for cooking, but for baking as well. Rashi and the Rian Tosfos holds that according to this version, one cooked food is enough for cooking and baking. Rabbeinu Tam says no. Yes, one Beis Hillel we're learning says one cooked food is adequate, but that's only for cooking. If I also want to do baking, I have to have a baked food, and we machmer for the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam that we put for the Erev Tashilin a cooked food, typically an egg, and a baked food, a matzah or a challah, for that reason that we should have a cooked food and be able to cook, and a baked food in order to be able to bake. Achle she'ovid, if your Erev was eaten or lost, harezo yivashalov, you can't rely on it. Amar bayi naktinen, hischel bisosoy, if somebody started baking, and then nechel eruvoy, and then his Erev got lost, goimer, because since when he began cooking, he started cooking with a Erev intact, the fact that it's not here anymore doesn't make a difference. I could continue to complete whatever I began beheter. Because as the Avni Nezer explains, once you started doing something beheter, you have a heter, so that you did what you did is okay, and therefore you may complete it.